back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 9:05 the time. Hour number three here on Sports 56 Mornings, our final hour of the week. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Jay Ham with you on this Friday, April 10th, 2026. We're live and local broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure at 2120 Whitten Road. They are just north of Interstate 40. Currently 65 degrees, going to warm up to 82 today, partly sunny. And then tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 58 degrees. Tomorrow could set a record for high temperature. Right now, forecasted at 85. A lot of sun tomorrow, a lot of sun on Sunday. Great for a weekend of baseball. Memphis will be playing Florida Atlantic in a big American Conference series this weekend over at FedEx Park, Avron Fogelman Field. And then, again, I'm just looking at the forecast. I don't see really a decent chance of rain until midweek of next week, so take advantage of it. Coming up in our final hour, Fred Smith, who is committed to the University of Memphis, big announcement yesterday over Briarcrest Christian. He is scheduled to join us at 9:30, and we'll also obviously update you with everything that's happening with the Masters, talk more of the NBA final weekend, as next week it'll be play-in time, and of course the Grizzlies tonight with the game against the Utah Jazz, the tank-off, if you will, between Memphis and Utah. But right now, we open up hour three with 10 in a row.
Not five, not six, not seven, not eight, not nine, but 10 in a row.
It's the game show that has swept the nation. It's 10 in a row, brought to you by both Gates Lumber and Napa Cafe.
That's right. Napa Cafe has been celebrating now 28 years in business over at 5101 Sandlin, serving up great food. That's what they do, and they do it for dinner Wednesday through Saturday starting at 5 o'clock. And you can go make reservations on their website at NapaCafe.com. While you're on the website, you could check out the entire menu as well of that delicious food that they offer, from great steaks to seafood and plenty of other things in between. Some great desserts, including their signature dessert cocktails that they've got. Whether you're out with a crowd to celebrate something or just an intimate evening out on the town, whatever it might be, go see the folks at Napa Cafe. Five dining rooms, including the private wine cellar, which is great if you're celebrating a special occasion. You could check that out. The entire menu also available for curbside pickup if you want to take some of that delicious food home with you. You can do that from Napa Cafe. Again, 5101 Sanderlin, open for dinner Wednesday through Saturday starting at 5 o'clock. And make those reservations at Napa Cafe. FA.com. The winner of 10 in a row will get a $50 gift certificate to Napa Cafe, along with $25 to the owner's box out in Lakeland, $20 in Corky's box, and a couple of Malco movie passes.
All right, you guys probably know me pretty well if you've been listening to the show over the years. It's Masters time. So I have a question, not specifically about the Masters, but about golf. It's a golf question. Major golf winners in the 2020s. Major golf winners in the 2020s. I'll give you the name of a golfer. If they have won at least one major in the 2020s, it's a yes. If not, it's a no. 901-360-8255. Majors in the 2020s.
All right. Again, 360-8255, Sissy's Log Cabin at Listener Line, open to you to play 10 in a row. Again, $50 to Napa Cafe, $25 to the owner's box, $20 to Corky's, and a couple of Malco movie passes all on the line for the winner of 10 in a row today. Leading us off is Steven. Hello, Steven.
Hey, Steven.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. All right. Major golf winners in the 2020s. Hideki Matsuyama.
Yes.
Justin Rose.
Yes.
360-8255. He didn't kill himself, did he? I hope not. 901-360-8255. Major golf winners in the 2020s. Next.
Next up is Keith. Hello, Keith.
Good morning, Keith.
Good morning.
Xander Schauffele.
Yes.
Bryson DeChambeau.
Yes.
Brooks Koepka.
Yes.
Gary Woodland.
No.
J.J. Spaun.
No.
360-8255, 901-360-8255. Major golf winners in the 2020s. That's the question. I'll give you the name of a golfer. If they've won at least one major in the 2020s, then it's a yes.
360-8255, 360-8255. Sissy's Log Cabin listener line is the number to play 10 in a row. Again, a big prize pack on the line. $50 from Napa Cafe, $25 from the owner's box, $20 to Corky's, and a couple of Malco movie passes, all going to the winner of 10 in a row today. We got a couple folks dialing in right now. We'll be getting to here in just a moment. We do have an open line as well. If you want to dial in and take that spot, you can, as we see if Jeff could be our winner. Hello, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning. All right, major golf winners in the 2020s. Hideki Matsuyama.
Yes.
Justin Rose.
No.
Tiger Woods.
Yes.
360-8255. Major golf winners in the 2020s.
Val is next. Hello, Val.
What's up, Val?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Not a whole lot. We go with Xander Schauffele.
Yes.
Bryson DeChambeau.
Yes.
Brooks Koepka.
Yes.
Gary Woodland.
No.
J.J. Spaun.
Yes.
Matt Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
Justin Thomas.
Yes.
Jason Day.
No.
Shane Lowry.
No.
Brian Harman.
No.
Oh, wow. Last one. Oh, no.
So close.
Oh.
Next up is Davis. Hello, Davis.
Hey, Davis.
How's it going?
Hideki Matsuyama.
Yes.
Justin Rose.
No.
Tiger Woods.
No.
Cameron Smith.
Yes.
Wyndham Clark.
No.
360-8255, still looking for the winner. We got close a couple of calls ago. Major golf winners in the 2020s. I'll give you the name of a golfer. If they have won a major in the 2020s, it's a yes. If not, it's a no. And we go to list number two, which was, you should know all these. If you've been listening, you should know all these. So who's next?
Next up is George. Hello, George.
Oh, it's George.
Let's try it.
All right. This, I think, did we put George in the 10 in a row Hall of Fame yet? This would get him in the Hall of Fame, I think. Xander Schauffele.
Yes.
Bryson DeChambeau.
Yes.
Brooks Koepka.
Yes.
Gary Woodland.
No.
J.J. Spaun.
Yes.
Matt Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
Justin Thomas.
Yes.
Jason Day.
No.
Shane Lowry.
No.
Brian Harman.
Yes.
There it is. He's officially in the 10 in a row Hall of Fame. He's also a winner. Congratulations, George.
Hold on, George. You'll know how to get your prizes.
So George joins Joe as two 10 in a row Hall of Famers. We got a couple that are on the precipice.
I was thinking, I would have missed on Shane Lowry. I was thinking his was in the 2020s. His feels like a lot.
I know,
a lot more
it?
Recent than that.
I was very surprised looking that up. So let's see how good you are with this. Let me finish the first list. Hideki Matsuyama.
Yes.
Justin Rose.
Yes.
No.
Or no? I mean
no. Tiger Woods.
No.
Cameron Smith.
Yes.
Wyndham Clark.
Yes.
Dustin Johnson.
No.
That's a yes. 2020 Masters.
God, his was 2020?
Yeah, I know.
And Shane Lowry's was before 2020?
It's crazy, isn't it?
I guess, yeah, that his was the COVID Masters. That's right. I forgot that his was the COVID.
Jordan Spieth.
No.
Phil Mickelson.
No.
Shocking, yes. PGA Championship 2021.
The 50-year-old. Yeah.
Patrick Reed.
No.
Colin Morikawa.
Yes.
Okay. So let's see if you know, and I gave away a few of these, but Hideki Matsuyama won a Masters. And what year?
He was, what, 21?
Yeah.
Because he gave the jacket to Scotty.
Yep, good job. Cameron Smith, he won what major?
He won the British
mm-hmm.
in 22?
Yeah, very good. Wyndham Clark, which seemed to come out of nowhere, but he won a...
He won the U.S. Open
right?
in 23.
Yes. Okay, I just told you Dustin Johnson won the Masters in 2020. Phil Mickelson, I told you, he won the PGA in 21. Morikawa won two majors during this time.
Yeah, he won the British and he won the PGA.
Yeah.
The PGA, what year? The 24?
No, PGA was 2020. That was, I think it was out in, was yeah, it in San Francisco? Francisco? Yeah. And then and he won the Open.
That was COVID year, too. Man, I don't remember that. I don't think.
Yeah. Nobody remembers COVID year. And then the Open Championship was the next year.
Yes, I do. He won them very close to each other.
Okay. Schauffele.
Good for him getting through the first round yesterday.
Yeah, he did. It's two over.
See if he could stay healthy for 4 days.
Not the end of the world. All right, Schauffele won two majors, both in the same year.
Yeah, he won the Open and the U.S. Open, the PGA, in that would have been 23, 24?
24, yeah. DeChambeau.
DeChambeau won the U.S. Open in... Boy, I don't know what year that, 22?
Same year.
24, okay.
Yeah, he won the Open.
That's right, because he and Schauffele were dueling in the PGA.
Right. Koepka, his last major that he won was what? Which tournament?
PGA in 21?
Three. 23. Spawn, I'm surprised somebody missed this earlier.
Well, he won the U.S. Open last year.
Yeah, he won the U.S. Open last year. Matt Fitzpatrick?
The British?
No.
Or no, he won the U.S. Open in 22.
Also in 22 was Justin Thomas, which, again, I don't even remember this, but he won the...
He won the PGA.
He won the PGA. And then Brian Harman...
That was when... gosh, who was the dude that collapsed? Who was this...
You talking about Harmon's win?
No, in Thomas's win.
Oh.
Because Thomas was like five back with five to play. Who's the dude that hit it in the water?
Oh, I don't remember. It all starts to blend after a while.
I just remember because I bet on Justin Thomas. five back with five to play or whatever, and I bet on
him. Oh, what a win.
God damn, what the hell was that guy's name? He's like, I think he's like out of golf now. Like he's not even on tour.
Really?
Anymore. I'll have to look like it a up. No name.
Well, give me Harman. Harman's win was.
Harman was the British. 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
23. There you go. That is 10 in a row. We do it each and every Friday. It's brought to you by both Napa Cafe and Gates Lumber.
That's right. Gates Lumber has been serving folks in the Memphis area for over 100 years now. For your lumber needs, for anything around the home, whether you're a do-it-yourselfer, maybe you're a contractor, developer, interior designer, architect, remodeler, whatever. They've got everything you need over at Gates Lumber, and they've got great prices. Great selection, free delivery, free estimates, competitive prices, quality products. You get it all at Gates Lumber. Great staff to help you find exactly what you're looking for as well. 1253 South Bellevue Boulevard is where you'll find them. You can also find them online at gateslumber.com. You can give them a call at 942-3201. Huge selection of doors, all different types of doors, custom doors, custom windows, all of that, everything you need. Again, whether you're building a home, remodeling your home, any do-it-yourself project, go see the folks at Gates Lumber. Again, 1253 South Bellevue Boulevard or online gateslumber.com.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news. This is why I always say a guest is scheduled to appear. But we just got a call from Coach Harrington. Fred Smith is stuck in an airport on his way to an All-Star game, so he will not be able to call in today, but it looks like we'll reschedule him for Monday. So we'll go ahead and take care of that. Sorry, best laid plans, but we'll talk to Fred, I hope to, anyway, on Monday. We'll take a timeout. You're tuned in to...
Mito Pereira.
Oh, Mito, yeah. Isn't he on the Live Tour?
I have no idea.
I thought he went to the Live.
You are the Live expert here. I don't know who's on that tour.
He was on the Live tour. I'm not sure if he still is.
That's the one. I could not think of who the hell was that collapsed.
I remember that now that you brought it up. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day
at Sports 56 WHBQ.
Now back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 9:24 is the time. Greg, Eli, and Jay Hamm are broadcasting live from the Family Leisure Studios. If you're just tuning in to listen to Fred Smith, got the bad news a moment ago that Fred is stuck in an airport, and I assume Memphis International, unless he flew out very early somewhere else. He was scheduled to be with us. We will reschedule him, hopefully, for Monday on the program, but the new commit to the University of Memphis, unless Big Brother got to him, but I don't think that's the case. Fred committing yesterday to the University of Memphis. According to Jason Munns, he and Cello Jackson are expected to formally sign their scholarships April 15th. Their letters of intent, whatever else goes into signing nowadays with the name, image, and likeness and all that good stuff.
Scotty Scheffler has just teed off at the Masters around number two, his group with Gary Woodland and Robert McIntyre. See if Bobby McIntyre can make more birdies than he flips today, because he was dead even yesterday on that. But Scotty Scheffler at 2 under par after the first round. He is just underway in round number two. Today, Wyndham Clark. The low round going today with 3 under par through on the front nine. Nobody else more than 1 under par so far in the early play today. The leaders, Sam Burns, will go off at 11:32. Rory McIlroy will go off at 12:44 this afternoon. I saw this tweet. This is from an hour ago. The Champions Tour players are currently beating LIV players. 34 over to 38 over.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, it was horrible for the LIV golfers.
That's even with Fred Couples' disastrous three-hole stretch yesterday.
Well, and of course, they're not counting Patrick Reed as a LIV golfer because he left LIV. So he's officially done. He's on the DP Tour. It was not good. Not good at all. By the way, we're watching on a monitor ESPN. And
on a television.
Yeah, television monitor. Same thing. TV monitor. Marty Smith, who we know is really good at what he does. Well, I don't know if you know that, but I mean, he's really good at what he does. I think it's time to stop with the old, here's how much you can get for $20 story at the Masters. It has been done 1,000 freaking times. We know it's cheap. We know they haven't changed the prices. I've had a chance to be there and partake in that as well. I think that story has exhausted itself. It should go out on its own. Doesn't need any more, especially a guy who's as creative as this. Come up with a different story. And they do. They come up with a million stories. But the food story, I'm done with it. It's great. It's cool. It's been overused. The preceding announcement made on behalf of Major League Baseball. All right, NBA. Guys, we got a couple of days left of the regular season. Let's talk award winners. Okay, you ready? You ready, Jay Hamm? You ready, Eli?
That's right.
Who's winning the MVP?
SGA.
100%?
100%.
Yes.
Who votes? Media. Who votes?
Media.
Credential media guys.
Media votes.
Yeah.
I think there's a little bit of a chance, a little bit more of a chance with the media that it could be Wemby. I'm not saying a high percentage.
I won't be surprised by that.
I think if it was the fellow players, they realize, you know, they don't take SGA for granted. They know how great Wemby's been, but I think it would be slam dunk.
Well, the Athletic did a anonymous poll of players, and I think SGA was, I can't remember what the percentage, I have to look up. He got the overwhelming percentage.
Right. I would expect that from the players. With the media, they can do some interesting things. Again, there's really no right or wrong.
I posted a poll on our Sports 56 Facebook page yesterday, and Wemby won that poll.
Yeah, if you went with just the fans out there.
Yeah, I just took it bold from our fans.
People have fallen in love with Wemby, right? He's such
a different beast. Fans get tired of the.
They get the fatigue, probably. And then we see the voters carry over with the same fatigue spinning from the narrative from the fans.
Yes, I'll be curious. Again, I think you guys are right, but I would not be shocked with media voting that it could end up being Wemby. All right, who is the rookie of the year?
That Cooper get that one.
Yep.
So Nate, the late push by Knepel. Yeah. No, the early push by Edgecombe. It'll come up short.
Edgecombe's not even close.
Yeah, in the early, I mean, you got the hype train around you, and you deliver even with the hype train like Cooper has, because it was expected that he would be that, and he's over-delivered.
The 50-point game followed by the 40-point game last week.
Secured it.
As a 19-year-old, it's kind of hard.
I saw the projected first team, because we were discussing this, I believe, on the show yesterday about where Cedric Coward would be. And
by the way, in that player pool that I talked about, anonymous player pool, SGA got 39% of the vote, and Jokic got 21%. Victor Wembanyama got 5%. He's sixth on the list.
Yeah,
behind SGA, Jokic, Jaylen Brown, Cade Cunningham, and Luka. Now, again, some of them won't be available,
right,
or eligible for the voters who are actually voting. They didn't disqualify anybody for the voting in this, but yeah, so they had Wembanyama sixth.
Like I said, players. There's no question. It's a slam dunk in my mind. The media, sure, I think it'll be SGA, but I think it'll be a lot more support than you think.
It's a new story, a new phenomenon to go with.
Yes.
That.
So they'll send out online, or they'll do online ballots or something right after Sunday's games? Is that when it happens?
I think they'd have them in by the end of Sunday.
So they have to have them in by the end of Sunday. Okay. So I was mentioning the yesterday seeing the projected first team all rookie team, because we were talking about Coward, and it was Flagg, Knepel, Edgecombe, Harper, and then is it Renault? Renault? Is he with Sacramento? I don't even know what team the guy plays for. R-A-N-A-U-D? R-A-Y-N-A-U-D?
Raynaud. Yeah.
Raynaud is how you pronounce it. That was the five they had, and they had Coward on the second team. Like, I haven't even paid attention to Raynaud. Cedric Coward, with everything they've gone through.
Yeah.
Again, the problem is that they've limited his minutes so much, and he's missed games because they've just basically held him out. But if they had let him play 30 minutes a night, then I don't. There would be no doubt, but the numbers don't look that great because he hasn't played enough.
Do you think he has a clause in his contract? If he's all rookie first team, he gets a bonus.
Most do.
See that they killed him then. Yeah, if that's the case,
Reynolds averaging 12 points, 7.5 rebounds.
Solid.
What is Coward averaging? Probably similar. Not the rebounds, but he's probably. Points is probably pretty similar.
I'll look it up. What's the minutes that the Renault guy plays? What is the average?
Coward's averaged 13.5 points, 6 rebounds.
Yeah, 13.5 points, 6 rebounds. And what's he averaging minutes-wise? He's averaging 25.8. What's Renault averaging?
He is averaging 26.
Okay,
a little over 26.
So basically the same. Just... You think the Grizzlies don't get enough national exposure? He's with Sacramento? They get nothing.
But he's played 10 more games, so it's, yeah. I mean, again, if Coward would have just been allowed to play, I think he would easily be a first-teamer, but because of the way they've handled it, I don't know that he will be.
Okay.
I see some more projections that's also suggesting Ace Bailey could be in the mix with that Derek Queen. Jeremiah Fears.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's a lot of.
Yeah. I think Harper, though,
he's dead.
Pretty safe, right?
Yeah, he's dead.
You're talking about for that fifth one. Okay. How about Coach of the Year?
It should be J.B. Bickerstaff, but I'm going to go with Charles Lee and Charlotte. I like what he's done reversing that order for them.
Someone could even say Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah, I would go either Mazzulla or Charles Lee. I mean, they showed the other night the Celtics. The Celtics preseason over-under for wins was 41.5, I think. And they're at what now, 52, 53. Charlotte's, I think, was 27, something like that, 27 and a half.
Yeah, 43.
They're at 43. I mean, both of them have gone way past their preseason expectations. I would be fine with either one of those. I think Lee might end up winning it.
How about defensive player of the year? That's Wemby, right?
If he plays the 65th game, it's done.
If he got 65, I got no gripes and no other challenges.
He may win that every year he plays 65 games. If he plays 65 games, I don't know that you can beat him.
He can really win that every year if he wanted to.
Sixth man? And I'm going to tell you, I'll take myself out of the mix because I don't know as many six men, the sixth man on a team. You, I'm sure, do.
Whew. It'll be tough to kind of go with one. Let me think.
All right, think of the sixth man, and then the other one would be the comeback player of the year. Who was hurt all last year or something happened and they came back this year to have a big year? They're two of the tougher ones, but sixth man and comeback player of the year.
We were throwing a few names around with my 94 Feet of Life guys, and we all like Keldon Johnson on sixth man. And the job he's done.
He is the overwhelming favorite.
Yeah,
is minus 900. Jaime Jaquez is plus 550 as the second choice. So it's not even, odds-wise, it's not even clutch. Or not even close. I was just looking at the clutch award winner. They have SGA as the, SGA in the clutch award is minus 2,500. The next is Jamal Murray at plus 1,400. And I was the coach of the year. They have Bickerstaff as the favorite at minus 280. They have Charles Lee at plus 20,000. Gosh darn, give the man some respect.
Plus 20,000?
Missoula's plus 220. Mitch Johnson's plus 2,200.
Mitch may actually walk away with that too.
He's deserving.
He's got a great shot.
Charles Lee's got to get more credit than that. My goodness.
Did you bring up sixth man and comeback player?
I'm thinking of comeback player now. Keldon Johnson is what we were thinking for sixth man.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I mean, they don't give a comeback player of the year, so nobody will win it.
Oh, they don't give a comeback player of the year?
No. I don't
think they used to?
It's given like the ESPYs will give one. You know, independent awards, sports shows, they'll do it, but the NBA doesn't have one.
Yeah, like Major League Baseball does.
Yeah,
NFL. I think the NFL does, but yeah. NBA does not.
So they never did it. Okay. All right. All right, so tonight, I'm sure everybody will be glued to their televisions or any apparatus that they watch games on, computers, iPads, phones, to watch what's going on in Salt Lake City. I mean, it should be epic with the Grizzlies and the Utah Jazz going at it tonight.
How about this road trip, by the way, for the Grizzlies? So they played Denver, who had won 9 straight. They go to Utah, who's lost 10 straight. They then go to Houston, who, if they beat Minnesota tonight, will have a 9-game winning streak going into the Grizzlies game. So they could go from a 9-game winning streak to a 10-game losing streak to a 9-game winning streak, the 3 games they play on this road trip.
All in a weekend.
Yes.
So I'm looking this up, and they say there was an NBA Comeback Player of the Year award from 79 through 86.
Yeah, that's what I was just looking up as well.
Yeah, I don't know if they did. I don't know. I just know they don't.
Years. It seemed like I thought I wanted to say I remember Roy Tarpley winning an award at one time, but maybe not.
Well, obviously, I have been in a cave for 40 years, not remembering that it's gone, but I do remember it being there one time, and your winners included Tiny Archibald, Bernard King, Gus Williams, Paul Westphal, Adrian Dantley, Michael Ray Richardson, and then Marcus Johnson. Poor Michael Ray Richardson probably was like great year, then jail, then comeback player, then great. You know what I mean? It was like back and forth. But yeah, that was. I thought there was an award for that.
The Grizzlies' hopes for getting that second lottery pick continue to dim a little bit, especially with Philadelphia losing Embiid. So that. Right now, it would be Philadelphia and Orlando playing in the play-in. Now, Charlotte could end up passing Philadelphia. They're actually tied, but I think Philadelphia has the tiebreaker against Charlotte. So you could get Philadelphia out of there. But Orlando's only a game behind Atlanta and Toronto for the sixth and fifth spots. but it's looking more and more like Orlando's got a really good chance at making the playoffs. And so the Grizzlies would end up not with a second lottery pick, but still a good mid-first round pick if they do get in there and get eliminated for the playoffs early on. But it's not looking – that's Orlando's now won 4 in a row, so they have put themselves in a good spot as far as making the playoffs are concerned.
So there's 22 players on the status report for tonight's game between the Grizzlies and the Jazz. 22 players. Adam Silver is going to lose his hair over this. He is going to lose his hair for the Jazz.
Well, again, I mean, the Grizzlies have 15. So I know. That's just, the Jazz only have 7 guys. Like, that's nothing.
Well, this doesn't add the 7, so maybe this is a little bit behind. Here's who's out for the Jazz. Isaiah Collier, Kyle Filipowski, Keontae George, Jaren Jackson Jr., Walker Kessler, Lauri Markkanen, Yusuf Nurkic, Bryce Sensabaugh, questionable Elijah Harkless. I love what they list Bryce Sensabaugh being out for. Rest. Because next week's going to be huge for the Utah Jazz.
Utah Jazz, exactly.
So get some rest now. I mean, are you kidding me? So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's 8 guys out for sure. And then a questionable player in Harkless. And then how many you said with the Grizzlies? It was 12, wasn't it? That were out?
They have 12 out, 1 doubtful, 2 questionable.
this is an absolute joke. Yeah, doubtful is Omax. Questionable is Javon Small and Walter Clayton Jr. So who does that lead tonight? You're going to have the likes of Ball.
Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, J.M.
Adama Ball.
It's all the 10-day guys.
Lucas Williamson.
It's Taj Gibson. The two ways, well, depending on if Small ends up playing or not.
They're all going to jump in back of the station wagon, and Taj is going to drive him to the arena. Come on, kids. We're going to play some basketball. So, again, but really the importance, who knows? Who knows what the hell can happen? The Grizzlies could finish with a better record than the Jazz and get a higher pick. We don't know how the draft lottery is going to turn out. But, again, you're giving yourself higher odds to move up if you have a worse record than said team. Well, in this case, the Jazz.
The odds are one thing. It's what you're creating your floor for where your pick can be. That's the key of it.
Oh, explain that. Explain that to everyone about creating the floor. So if the Grizzlies finish...
Well, the lottery only decides the top 4 picks. After that, it goes by order. So if you are 8th or versus 6th, you're obviously will be lower based after the if you don't move into the top 4. I mean, it's
oh, okay, simple. I got you.
I mean, the lottery only is picking the top 4 picks, and then after that, the remaining teams go in order of their record. So, you want to have the worst record so that you create a floor that is, you know, if you're the 6th, you're in that 6th spot, well, if only teams ahead of you go up, get the top 4 picks, you know you're picking 6. But
right.
If you know, there will be teams that can jump from behind you, but you can only fall so far. Like, literally, the farthest you could fall would be 10. But that would be really bad luck. But the if you're 8, obviously, you could theoretically fall to 12.
So, in other words, if the Grizzlies finish... lose this game tonight and lose the game on Sunday, they will finish with the 6th worst record in the NBA, correct?
Depends what Dallas does. They could be tied with Dallas.
And then who would get you said that they're equal, right? They get the same chance in the draft lottery?
They would do a coin toss to decide. They split the two.
Okay.
They split all the ping pong ball combinations. If there's one extra, and I don't know in there if there would be one extra, if there's an odd number or not. They do a coin toss for that extra combination, and the coin toss determines that order again after the top 4 are determined. If you win the coin toss, then you would get the better of the draft picks.
Right. Look, anything can happen with the draft lottery. You can certainly move up. But if you lose these next two...
If they lose the next two, the worst they can do is a tie for 6th with Dallas.
Exactly. And when I look at the draft, the mock drafts now, even though I think there's going to be all kinds of hits. Now, there's going to be misses. right? But there's going to be hits well after the sixth and seventh and the eighth pick. But if you're sitting there picking sixth or seventh, and it's one of those point guards you want, you're going to get one of those point guards. If you pick eighth, you may miss out. It, you know, obviously, it depends on what everybody else is doing and the way they look at this draft. But that's why I think it's it could be pivotal to be sixth as opposed to eighth.
If you consider the four point guards, you're at eighth, you're getting one of those in all likelihood, or you're getting like Caleb Wilson, but I don't think there's any chance he's falling out of that.
See, I don't put Brown in that same category. I don't put Brown in that. I put Wilson in at four, and then I put the other three. I put Flemings, Acuff, and Wagler. And then you
why don't you put Brown with those guys?
I don't know. He's had injuries. It's just like Peterson. I wouldn't take him first. I just worry about the injuries.
I've heard some like maturity issues about Brown from some of my coaching friends and whatnot, but I haven't found anything. But they kind of falling back. They were like, talent is there, but we question the attitude and maturity and the whole thing with that.
Now, granted, I take a lot of these guys, but if I had the first pick, I would seriously be considering A.J. DeBonta. That's the guy that won me over.
And there's a good chance he could end up being the first pick. It's a 6'9 freak athlete.
Right.
I mean, they tend to do well.
They can do it all.
I mean, a lot of the conversation, well, not a lot, but some of the conversation around here is Boozer. They love Boozer. The organization, some people think they know what the climate and those guys are thinking. They love Boozer, consistency. But DeBonta, I could see him having a better chance to be a breakout, maybe even a star. Than Boozer.
You're marveled by that athleticism.
I am.
And there's nothing wrong with it, but I warn John Harden all the time, be careful with that.
I know.
Because sometimes the basketball player is just the basketball player.
That's a great point. I bring that up a lot with the Memphis Tigers about stop always getting the 6'5", 6'6", athlete or what you perceive as the athlete. Go out and get that guy who just knocks down shots at 41%. If you could find one, there are those 3 points, find more of that guy or the guy who's just is a great lockdown defender as opposed to the guy that you're hoping the athletic prowess will turn into the great basketball player.
And I say this like in this manner. It's kind of, I'm not saying that these players will end up this way, but when I look at DeBonta and Boozer, it kind of reminds me of a debate that we had all the time, me and my guys, about Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett just made it look better. Timmy was the official. And it's not to say that Kevin Garnett wasn't a great player. Of course he was. It's a big ticket. He's done everything. But Timmy just consistently made it look better.
That's pretty good. I know you're not saying that those two will be Duncan or right. Garnett. But what you're saying is you're comparing, obviously, DeBonta is the Garnett.
The aesthetics of A.J. DeBonta.
And Boozer's
and
the Duncan.
Boozer's just kind of dunking straight laced.
That's pretty good.
To the textbook, go for it, you know.
That's pretty good.
I don't even think there's a debate between those two. I would take DeBonta a thousand times out of a thousand over Boozer.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take Boozer over Peterson. My debate would be Boozer versus Caleb Wilson.
Oh, interesting.
And then some of the point guards. Like I think Boozer is going to be good. I've said I think his floor is his dad. I don't think he has the star potential to these other guys.
Are you taking DeBonta over Peterson or vice versa?
That would come down to the workouts, what I see in workouts, but I think I would have no problem with either one of them.
Okay.
Folks, it's a First Responder Friday over at East Coast Wings and Grill. And, of course, you're also going to have Masters action all day long going over there. If you want to go grab some lunch and watch the Masters or go spend happy hour over there watching the Masters, you certainly can do that. But it's also First Responder Friday for all you first responders out there. That's 20% off your entire bill. And, of course, during happy hour, 3:30 until 6:30, you can also get the great deals that they have, like the half off on the draft beers and other specials, including some appetizer specials, things like that. And again, the Masters will be on over at East Coast Wings and Grill, located out in Bartlett, Highway 64, just off Highway 64 between Lowe's and Walmart in the Wolf Chase area there. They got specials every day of the every day of the week now, Monday through Friday, for various folks out there. Again, happy hour Monday through Friday from 3:30 until 6:30 as well. And, of course, all weekend long, Masters action, baseball action, NBA action, it's always on. Great place to watch the games while enjoying some great food at East Coast Wings and Grill.
You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Let Bryant Dacus and Brett Norsworthy take you home every afternoon. Sports Time on Sports 56. Weekdays from 3 to 6 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Good morning!
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Hoops Hype posted this. I don't know how they're determining this, but it's the injured salary per team in the NBA. So I don't know if it's like guys that are out for the year or if it's guys that are like listed on the injured list as of today or what. Golden State has the most injured salary. They've got $167 million of injured salary. Mm. But the Grizzlies, 95.16% of their salary is injured.
Jeez.
The only other one over 90% is Washington. They're just over 90% of their salary. But yeah, the Grizzlies, over 95% of the money they're paying out is to injured guys.
Yeah, those three teams that you just named, the only one that has one max salary out of it is the Grizzlies, and that's Ja, right? Because we're
Well, yeah. No, what I mentioned, Golden State.
Well, you got Steph and Jimmy. Yeah. They're both max guys.
Oh, obviously, you only one.
Right,
you
only said. One max right. guy. I'm looking at two max guys for Washington and as well as for Golden State with that.
Yeah, okay, I think I was, yeah.
And yeah, it's a lot of money for having just the one max guy.
Right, and we have so many other bodies that are not
that's
max
why,
guys.
Like the Grizzlies' number is $128 million, which is $40 million less than Golden State, but the percentage is way higher.
I know...
Golden State, it's 80% to the Grizzlies, 95%.
I know Para has more money than Sin. He's a multi billionaire, right? But I would be like, once in a while, look and go, wait a minute, I'm spending how much money for these guys to be on the bench?
You would have thought that something would have came out about that within these last 3 years.
Oh, my God.
With how stuff has been
going. I mean, you're talking about wasted money?
Yeah.
Even if I was a billionaire, I'd be like, wait a minute. How much money am I spending on these guys? And injuries happen. Look, it's part of sports. It's a roll of the dice. You never know when somebody's going to get hurt. But, man, oh, man. What'd you say, 90, like 96%?
Close just over 95%.
That's just nuts.
Yeah.
I wonder if, gosh, if basketball has more, like a higher percentage of their salaried players injured than any other sport, including football, which is so violent.
Probably so because of how high their salaries are in general.
Right, right. It's a good point. At the Masters, Sam Burns, Rory McIlroy, they will go off. Well, Burns will go off at 11:32 Central Time. Rory at 12:44. But they are your first round leaders at 5 under. Guys on the course. Currently, Wyndham Clark, 2 under through 10. He's now 2 under for the tournament, had it up to 3 under earlier. Scotty parred his first hole, so Scheffler at 2 under par. But some early birdies being made. Chris Goddard is a bird. Jordan Spieth, Brooks Koepka a bird. Justin Thomas has a bird early. Terrell Hatton, there you go. There's a live guy, 2 under through 4. He is now even on the day. The projected cut right now is at +3. So some big names right now that are behind the cut line, including Bryson DeChambeau at +4. He has yet to tee off. John Rahm is -1 on the day, so he's up to +5 through 3 holes in his second round, but he has a long way to go. But as you said, Eli, no rain in the forecast. They can let this thing even dry out more. They could water it. They could do whatever they want. But I would imagine it's going to let it go, and it'll be even faster and harder as the weekend goes.
Yeah, it could be they could do whatever they want. They have the ability there. But if they let this thing just dry out and get crusty and it will be absolutely nasty trying to get some balls to stop on some of these greens. It's going to get really tough today, and then it's just going to keep getting tougher and tougher over the weekend. I hope they do let it go that way. I think it'd be fun to watch these guys. There'll be a lot of frustration. You might meet some other guys flipping the bird at some greens when you think you hit a good shot. You know, Patrick Reed yesterday on 15, he thought he hit a great shot and ended up in the water back there on by 16 because it just takes such a big bounce. You know, that's one of these par fives, especially if you're trying to come in with long irons and stuff like that. I mean, you can get some nasty bounces. I mean, they couldn't hold 13 greens, some guys yesterday in the afternoon, hitting the, after they laid up and were hitting 60-yard wedges with a bunch of spin, it still was bouncing over that green. This weekend, it could get nasty out there.
Yeah, there was the, what was it, was it 15, where they were just trying to put it in the bunker because they were worried that it could hit and just roll out?
Yeah, that's the, again, you saw Patrick Reed hit middle of the green, and it goes in the water back there behind. A number of guys who you come up short at all, it will spin back into the water in the front. And that's what happened with McIntyre and Fred Couples making their nines.
I mean,
that hole was playing for what it's, you know, you just think of the par fives out there, the holes you got to take advantage of. But 15 was playing really difficult yesterday.
Nothing like a weekend at Augusta for the Masters. Can't wait to watch that. We'll be talking about it on Monday. We'll be talking plenty of NBA. As the season will officially come to an end for the Grizzlies on Sunday, we'll know the play-in matchups and we'll be ready for the postseason to begin in the NBA. Of course, Major League Baseball throughout the weekend as well. Lots to talk about when we see you again on Monday at 7 a.m., so we hope you'll join us for that. I want to thank John Varlas, Memphis women's basketball coach Hannah Hayden, and Joe DeLeon for joining us on the show. Again, we are efforting rescheduling Fred Smith Jr. for hopefully sometime on Monday, if not early next week, to talk to the newest member of the Memphis Tigers. Wolo and Friends on Sports 56 is coming up next. Landon Schmidt going to be running the show as Dave is off, and he'll be back on Monday. For Eli Savoy, for Jay Hamm, I'm Greg Gaston. Have a great weekend, everybody.